Have you ever felt overwhelmed by life or unable to see any other way through? Maybe you've even said to yourself, there has to be a better way. The good news is that there is always a better way. It's time to reclaim your humanity. Welcome to Getting to Unstuck, the 20-minute jolt that you need to help you in life and work. So let's get started.
Today's Tuesday, right?
Good morning.
Good morning. Hello. Welcome to Getting to Unstuck. Thanks for joining us. It's another fantastic Tuesday, and it's just good to be here. On Tuesdays, we love to call them Teamwork Tuesdays. And if you are new here, or this is your first time tuning in, every Tuesday, we are focused on our conversations around the things that matter to those of us who lead teams, to those of us who have to maybe either lead up or down and lead ourselves in teams at work and projects, and what that means for us as individuals who are part of the whole. So good morning, Carol and Colin.
Thanks. Good morning.
Hello. Morning.
Morning. So today we're going to be talking about
incompetence.
The exciting, exciting conversation that everybody's been dying to talk about, incompetency.
You know, it's such, as soon as we started talking about it, there were so many things that bubble up, right? How, what it affects us, even the impact of the word, because it is one of those really weighted, very heavy words when it gets thrown around. It can alter our path as a, in a career. It can alter who we are as a parent. It can alter who we are as a partner. When that badge is kind of flashed, it's like, oh, you're being incompetent. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't want our leaders to be that.
Yeah.
I found an interesting data point, though, that is kind of worrisome, because it says that 70% of people have been negatively affected by workplace toxicity and weaponized incompetence, right? And it's the same percentage from 2018 to 2023.
Okay.
So what does that mean? Like, why aren't things getting, they're supposed to be getting better.
So you use, and I have to acknowledge, I haven't read that particular article, but what is weaponized incompetence?
Is it that's a good,
that we're incompetent, but we're in positions of authority so we can splash our incompetence around?
That's right. That's right. When it's unchecked, untethered, unseen, That's when it becomes weaponized. And
right.
Yeah. And I think
I'm fascinated.
Well, it happens a lot when people, so I think a very tangible example of it is, and maybe a lot of people have experienced in work, is when people are just, they're promoted based on maybe the system. Maybe it's like, Colin, we were talking earlier about the Peter principle, right? Which is where someone is given a promotion inside of a system that doesn't necessarily mean that they have all the competencies that are required at that level of leadership and responsibility, but the system just demands that they be pushed up through the ranks. And a good example is, you know, it would be the armed forces, where, and I'm not saying that people that are higher ranks are not incompetent, but that it's their people, you earn your stripes, but how is that measured?
Yes. And I think, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, every organization seems to have that. There is a career, there's your career blueprint, there's your career path. There is always this story that the next thing for you to do is to get elevated and to be promoted. And if you're not, especially in this fast-paced world, if you're not getting promoted within 2 years, what's happening is people are leaving organizations. They are moving on. Because they want to rise rapidly. But rising rapidly doesn't mean necessarily succeeding. It's certainly not as a leader.
Yeah. And isn't that interesting? Because that is incompetency is also, it is like a symptom. Incompetent leadership is like a symptom of a disjointed, disconnected world, and where we see ourselves as separated, as individuals, as I've got to protect myself. And we like our, the drive and that the myth of the fable or whatever you want to call it, the story, the narrative that says, I need to advance in this. I'm on a career path to do this. Mm-hmm. While that sounds, and we may have been conditioned to do that, while that sounds good in theory, that becomes something that's sometimes at all costs. So in terms of, you know, character and ethics and everything like that, but just in terms of actual competency, where if you're good in one thing and you can just double down and hide, almost there are certain levels of leadership or responsibilities where you can kind of, what's the word? You can kind of have a level of opacity over the things that you may not be competent in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, fall short in. Mm-hmm.
The other interesting topic that we, when we were discussing this, is about perception, because I think the other statistic that I was glancing through was that there are many people who work under someone who consider them incompetent. Mm-hmm. Because, and are they truly, or do we just not like what their decisions are? So incompetence gets around a lot. Like, oh, they're such an incompetent leader. But are they, or do we just not like what they're saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. And it gets called toxic a lot of the time too, right? And, mm-hmm. and that's another sort of word that I think gets used quite loosely these days, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you might not like something, right? I mean, I don't like, you know, I was reading something about, I don't like Brussels sprouts, right? But that doesn't make it toxic, right? Or yeah. I find reality TV. What's that?
I might argue that yes, they are toxic, but
there you go. What the importance of the word, right? Like, I find reality TV offensive, but it's not toxic necessarily, right? So So to answer your question, Carol, it's you know, maybe it's also trying to understand. Yours trying to understand the person above you.
Yes.
It kind of calls for communication. I was speaking with somebody the other day who was having a hard time communicating because he's more of an introvert, right? Mm-hmm. So is that a signal of incompetence because he's not communicating? It's really interesting trying to dissect this, isn't it?
It is. Well, and I was sharing with you, I work with an organization where the leader is very charismatic and he's been brilliant at what he's done to grow the company from two guys in a truck up to a really big bigger organization, not multinational. But there has become a lot of whispers, at least, about, is he the right guy? Is he the right person now to be at the head of this bigger organization? Because what got him, that's like that book, what got you here won't necessarily get you there. And and yet he's elevated to the position of senior leader. And so there's a lot of questions like, well, you know, would we want him out? No, but how do we support him?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. This happens a lot in organizations. I experienced that as I have founded different organizations. And as a founder, you have a very different skill set that is, it's much needed. It's the only way things get off the ground with that skill set as a visionary but there comes a point where you have to recognize, have you reached the end of your competencies of what you can provide for the people that you're leading or for the organization? Mm-hmm. And certain visionary leaders, Colin, we were talking about this earlier, visionary leaders attract a type of people to that vision. But eventually, in order for that organization to continue to be sustainable and to scale, there is a different level of competencies. And not that one is greater than the other, it's different. And so recognizing that, I think, is important. So recognizing, it's one thing for us to look on the outside of what someone else is doing and be like, oh yeah, they're incompetent because of this. But I think a greater question for us is in this conversation today is how can we recognize those incompetencies in ourselves?
Yes.
Because we, first of all, we owe it to ourselves as leaders. We owe it to ourselves to actually have the opportunity to experience the most expansive version of ourselves and the possibilities that we bring to the world. But also, we owe it to the people that are trusting us in leadership, either people that have bestowed that trust on us or that have to trust us because of where they are in the organization.
Because the article that you pointed to from Harvard Business Review is really that the risk of being seen as an incompetent leader is that the people who work for you become less and less responsive. Yeah. And become, right. So, you know, they become quiet quitting because they can't see that there's ever going to be a change. And yet they're, you know, the rumor mill is such, oh, he's such an, or they're such an incompetent leader. Mm-hmm. If we're looking individually, and I think that's what you're suggesting, Crystal, is that we look inside. Mm-hmm. So what do we do if we've been, if we have been perhaps labeled with that, or we hear a rumor that mm-hmm. we're considered incompetent? How do we address it?
Well, I think, I don't know if this answers your question, but isn't it also sort of connected to, I find performance reviews kind of perverse, right? Because it's what if maybe those need to be reimagined and rethought and reworked? Because like you were saying earlier, Crystal, there's this sort of obligation to go up this ladder, right? Mm-hmm. That's the one thing. And then there's these performance review along the way. Maybe it's more of a, maybe we need to rethink it in terms of like a competency booster. I don't know, something. And I've always felt that people should be, you know, we should look at their strengths or their unique gifts mm-hmm. and focus yes. on those, shine the light on that and forget the mm-hmm. rest. Like, I think we've mm-hmm. talked about this before, but
there's a lot of different angles to this if we look at mm-hmm. it. And mm-hmm. what I was considering, wondering if the rumor, because one of the, what brought this up, I think, with us originally is all those things that people, that the leaders don't hear. Because mm-hmm. they're being whispered in the lunchroom and they're being whispered in the hallway, and the right. leader may get just a little bit of it, but not necessarily a sense that people are saying they're an incompetent leader. So if they do, one of the things that I realize is that we need to be gentle with ourselves.
Sure.
Because the idea that one human being or even half a dozen human beings can be everything for an organization of hundreds of people is ridiculous. It's mm-hmm. what has people burn out. So are things going to drop out? Are we going to have to do what you suggested, Crystal, which is to kind of, well, I'm really not good at this, but I just, you know, put that one to one side. Mm-hmm. Or can we recreate mm-hmm. a place where people can be honest about their strengths and where they may have shortcomings? So it's an honest examination that is being required.
Yeah. And we've spoken about honest, right? Go ahead, Colin. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, we've spoken about this recently, actually, with kind of firsthand accounts about, you know, this fear of not being able to speak up, like fear of not being able to say, I'm overwhelmed, or I'm burning out, or I need help, or I don't understand this. So it's almost like we need to take the ego out of the workplace and somehow. Be gentle, more kind.
Mm-hmm. What creates, what's the nurturing ground for an honest conversation?
Well, an honest conversation, the first point of being able to have an honest conversation is the awareness and realization that it's not personal. That's probably the first thing I would say in an honest conversation. And when I think about all the times when I've done it good and when I've not done it good, there's been very distinct differences in what an honest conversation is like. An honest conversation is not an attacking conversation as well, right? It's actually dealing with the issue, but not the person, because we are not like we may do actions, but we're not the equivalent of those actions. Like we're not static as individuals. We grow, we can change, we are open to possibilities. I think the other thing that's really important about an honest conversation is to recognize the systems around things. Like, have we supported you enough as a leader to be able to allow you to be honest in the first place about these competencies? Do you as a leader feel safe to be honest about your own incompetence?
Yeah.
And it goes back to the Peter principle.
It does.
Know, we're not given you keep going up this ladder that we're supposed to go up, and we're not given the tools often not given the tools as we ascend. We ascend to greatness.
And it's true. And it's all of us have experience in it, and all of us can see it in organizations where this has happened, where people have been continually promoted to a place where they're going to fail. And so we're setting people up to fail in that kind of organizational structure. So there is something, though, as you were both were speaking, in thinking about who is it that has the possibility of having a conversation with a leader if there are rumors or if there are facts that they're not as competent as they need to be. Mm-hmm. Who's the trusted?
I don't want to plug coaching. I don't want to plug coaching, but I mean, coaching and mentorship kind of show up as important elements to introduce into those moments in time and those conversations. Mm-hmm.
It's important. And I think, Colin, it is important to say it. And let's be honest. I mean, it's why we're doing what we're doing anyways. Mm-hmm. But what are the things that coaching provides? Well, coaching provides the space to have a conversation about what's possible. Mm-hmm. So when we are problem-centric, we are only thinking about a solution, and we see that solution as being a single thing, thinking that solution has a single cause, or like the problem has a single cause. Mm-hmm. And that's not how humanity works. That's not how life works. Our lives are not siloed, and our growth is not siloed.
No.
Holistic growth actually requires that we recognize all the different things that are going on around systems that we're in, the story that has brought us thus far. You know, there's so much to it. So I think that when we are open and honest about questioning or recognizing, are there areas that are incompetences happening, whether in ourselves or in someone that we're working with or that we're responsible for, I think the first thing we do first things I would do is I would be thinking about what's a better question to be asking about this. And I know that what I say that all the time, but you know, why is this happen? Or like, why are you doing that? That is not a productive question.
Oh, no, we get really defensive when we get those why questions thrown at us. There really are better questions to ask. You're right. And I think it's interesting in considering this from all angles is that you people who are listening today might say, oh, yeah, I got one. I've got that incompetent leader. How am I ever going to make an influence there? Well, consider, you know, where could your voice be heard? Where could you amplify? Where could there be communication? But also if we as leaders are thinking, oh, I wonder how my people are thinking of me, you need to ask. You need to be able to have those conversations and wonder with people about what's actually being said around. But there's also those pressures that are not going to let up, because there is the pressure to perform. There's the pressure, to get profits. There's a pressure that we have to take care of all of our people. And that's not going to go away. So it is in being able to be self-aware, to develop a self-reflection process as a leader, that is also really important. Because yes, the coach is going to make a difference, but only if the person who's being coached is willing and ready to be hearing what is being said.
And I think I would add that they have training and development tools at their disposal, right? Yeah. So we're also, you know, culturally, we're entering a time of AI and like we were talking about the other day, four generations in the workplace.
Yes.
And training and development, I think, needs to be really kind of crucial as things are changing so rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to go away.
No, I don't think so. But I'm just as we were wrapping up, one of the things that you said at the beginning is this: these statistics have not changed through COVID.
Right.
Which is really fascinating, because the whole hybrid workplace or remote workplace, I thought would have made an impact on this, but apparently not.
Yeah. Interesting, right? Mm-hmm. And there's another data point that I forgot to mention, but the economic impact of avoiding a toxic worker is 2 times higher than hiring a star performer. So this has big implications on the bottom line. And there was a point on remote working that I wanted to mention, but I can't remember it.
Lots more to talk about here, but if I may, I would leave people, if you're worried, if you're a leader who's listening to this and like, oh my goodness, is it me? Am I one of the incompetent ones? Be gentle with yourself, because there's too much on you. I can promise that there is already too much on you. If you're a leader of people, you've already got a lot on your shoulders, and the expectations are very, very high. And finding support for you to be able to be self-aware, self-examine is super important.
Yeah. Yeah. And be gentle on yourself, because in all honesty, the truth will set you free. And I know that's like the world's oldest cliche, but it's true. Being honest with yourself about the truth of whether you are perpetuating your own incompetence, if you are avoiding growing or, you know, expanding in certain areas, be kind enough to yourself to actually address it and to begin to give yourself opportunities and create possibilities to be able to change where you're going, because your past doesn't have to be your future as a leader and in life.
Hmm. Way to end it.
Well, thank you. Thanks for such a great conversation. If you want to find out more, you can find us over at wholehumancoaching.com. If you like this show, please like and share it. And if you have questions that you would like us to tackle, feel free to either comment on wherever you find this show or reach out to us over at wholehumancoaching.com. And one last thing, on March 28th, we are having another free online workshop that is called The Future is Whole Human Coaching. And so if you want to experience the power of learning some coaching techniques and experience being able to see it in real time and learn about how it can create a better world for you and your future, then you can find that information over at Whole Human Coaching as well. Until the next time, thanks for joining us and have a great week ahead.
Thank you. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us. If you want to learn more about who we are and who we work with, find us at wholehumancoaching.com. You can find us everywhere on our socials, on LinkedIn, on TikTok, on Instagram, and on YouTube as Whole Human Coaching.